everybody. Is that your desire tonight? To be used of God? The highest calling on this planet is to be used of God. Whatever it is that God needs, I want to be part of it. I want to be able to present my body as a living sacrifice. How about you? Praise God. Title of my message tonight is, You Are Out of Your Mind. I've been told that. I said, you are out of your mind. Praise God. This last 7 months, as most of you know that are regular members here at Calvary Gospel Church, God's been leading us from step to step. And at first, I don't think too many of us understood exactly where we were going with this, but under the leadership of Roy and Pastor Grant, we seemed like we took a step and another step and another step. And this last month, we talked about the power and authority that God has given His church. Are you part of the church? Praise God. Praise God. So I believe this next month or two, we're going to see some things that we have never seen before. I'm thinking that we're going to be going places that we've never went before. We're going to be trying things that have never been tried before. Why is that? Because God is leading this church out of the building into the highways, into the byways, into the corners of this community. And I don't think it's going to stop there. Praise God. You know, someone asked Willie Sutton why he robbed banks. And he said, very simply, so that's where the money's at. Robbed a lot of banks. If we want to take that a little out of context, why do we want to go out of this building? Because that's where the people are at. This is where God's people, they don't come. We couldn't get enough people in here. We couldn't build a big enough building to accommodate all the thousands of souls that God is going to. I still believe in Pastor Grant's vision of 20,000 souls. We knew that vision came from God. We just weren't really sure how to wrap our faith around it. And then Roy came up. God gave him a vision for 25 churches by 25. Praise God. Is that exciting or what? And we have a lot of churches, plants and so on started. Some of these are going to grow into big dynamic churches like this. Others are going to be preaching. It doesn't make any difference what they become. What the difference is, we are determined to take the church out of the building. I love that little sign that Christina put up on the bulletin board. The church has left the building. Praise God. That's what we are, the church. We are the people who God has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, there's five of you standing. You probably want to sit down unless you have a real strong leg support system. But I believe that God is in the process of changing the way we do church. Praise God. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with Calvary Gospel Church. I don't know how many of you know this, but we are one of the largest churches in the district of Wisconsin. We have the best record in giving throughout the district and nationally. We've been ranked. It's not just the giving, but the people at Calvary Gospel Church are amazingly well taught. We have a Christian development class that is really the apple of the district's eye. We get calls all the time that we would you send me the Jesus method? Praise God. I'm happy about that. It's not our method. It's the Jesus method. Praise God. But as much as I love this church and of all the great things that are going on here, Brother Grant informed me the other day that Calvary Gospel Church won more souls than I think all the churches in the district put together. Is that correct? In our section, I'm sorry. So Calvary Gospel Church in Section 3 won more souls than all the rest of the churches in Section 3. Can you praise the Lord for that? But see, we're just scratching at the surface of what God wants to do. If we're going to have our 20,000 soul revival and everybody said amen, if it's going to be, it's up to me. If you want revival, Brother Crowder used to say this, I am revival. If you want God to use you, you have to begin to speak it and think it and believe it and talk about it. We would be quite deceived if we thought this was the as good as we could ever become. This church has been in existence for, I think, close to 70 or maybe more than 70 years. I'm not for sure. I'm not a historian, but I know we've had we have probably around 1,200 people attend in our various services on a weekly basis, and then with our outreaches and so on, it's probably another 300. It's probably 1,500 people that are coming to Calvary Gospel Church. And so that would be really great, except if you wanted to take the number 70 for the number of years we've been in existence, divide that into that number, we've added about 15 souls a year. Praise God. So we need something different. We need to go further than we ever have went before. Something's got to change. Really, think about it. Something has to change. Or if the Lord tarries and another 7 years goes by, we'll have 2,400 or whatever it might be. But I believe in my heart that we are on the brink of a supernatural outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I thank every one of you that are involved in the work of the Lord. I think this church, the old 80-20 principle, doesn't necessarily pertain to Calvary Gospel Church. That's the 80-20 principle is not something that we talk about too much, but it's 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. We have a lot of people working at Calvary Gospel Church. But guess what? The harvest field is plenteous, and the labors are still few. We have a desperate need in almost every one of our departments for more labors. So I want you to prayerfully consider, if you're not actively involved in a ministry at Calvary Gospel Church, don't be a spectator, be a participator. Get involved in a church. Go and find someone who can lead you to you have to be doing something. You can't just come here week after week. When this revival comes, my friend, this is going to sweep past everything we ever thought of doing. Praise God. You ever thought about why God has called so many eagles to this place? I can tell you why. He has big plans for Calvary Gospel Church, and I want to be right in the middle of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you think about the way they worship God in the Old Testament, and then Jesus came onto the scene, and that whole religious system was changed. They went from focusing on a temple and on rituals into out of the church, into the highways and into the byways, into those places that they went to the people. Praise God. And that's exactly what God's doing here at Calvary Gospel Church. The Bible says, God no longer dwells in temples made with the hands of men. He's inside of me. Praise God. Everything that God can do, I've been given the authority to do the same thing. Let this mind be in you. Well, I'm not going to read that scripture yet. But praise God. Jesus is amazing, the things that he's given us. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, that's something that I believe that we need to just constantly dwell upon. The Spirit that said, let there be light, lives inside of us. Is there any limitations here? Is there anything that God can't do if you believe? I cannot find anything in the Scripture. And I believe more than ever that God's calling this church out of their comfort zone. Spiritually speaking, we all have a tendency to get to a certain level, and we feel comfortable there, and we're in the boat. We're saved. We have the blessings of God. But God says, that's not enough. That's not enough. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get to a place where the Spirit of God is using every single one of us. Praise God. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. Listen, it was a dark time there. But you know, the thing that really bothers me is the portion of the Scripture says that they were building, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and only 8 souls were saved out of that whole. Mathematicians have said there's probably millions of people alive when Noah was building that ark. 120 years, and this is all he came up with, was 8 souls. I don't know about you, but I want to be out of the boat, doing the work of God. Hallelujah. There's no spectators. There's just participators. The most exciting thing that I've ever been involved in is working for the Lord, talking to people about Jesus Christ, knocking on doors, praying with people, and having them receive the Spirit of God, baptizing people in Jesus' name, being part of the family of God. We've worked every position in this church with the exception of the senior pastor's job. But we loved everything we've ever done because it needed to be done. It doesn't have to be a, you know, we've got, right now, we've got some job openings for ushers, we've got job openings for greeters, we've got job openings for Bible study teachers. And if we're going to get the job done in this day, in this hour, everybody's going to have to put their shoulder to the wheel. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. I want to get out of the boat. Time is of the essence. Look around you, folks. This is a men's hearts are failing because of the fear of things to come. There'll be a time, the Bible says, when no man can work. Listen, he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And what in the world? How would you like to see, come to church one day and see nobody's here or very few people are here and the catching away or the rapture of the church took place? Oh my, I don't want to be part of that. I want to be part of the church of the living God. I want to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I want to be a willful worker in the harvest field. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Philippians, the first chapter, second chapter, verse number 1. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The Bible tells us that we must be in our right mind. And for those of you who have not ever read this scripture, there's only two minds available to mankind. One is the carnal mind, and the other is the mind of Christ. When we come into the church, we are filled, we are highly developed in unbelief. Because that's all we ever were taught, is unbelief. Follow what I'm saying? And we get into the church of the living God, and everything changes. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But we still have to work all this unbelief out of our systems. We were taught it from the time we were able to walk and talk until the time we were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean unbelief just leaves you. Praise God. Philippians 2 and 1, if therefore if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels in mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at not at every man on his own image, but every man also on the things of others. Now this is the, let this mind be in you. Everybody say, let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. I didn't get a lot of that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in me that was in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Now what happens when this happens? Who being the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Equal with God? I said, equal with God? Does that excite you? We're not talking about becoming a God. We're talking about power and authority. He has taken his power, his authority, and transferred it to the church. Jesus said, greater things than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father. This is a sweet deal for those people who will pick up their cross daily and follow after him. But you've got to get it in your head. This is not something you can turn off like a faucet. Listen, the moment you let your guard down, Satan will be around with all kinds of things to take your time up. Praise God. He is the father of all procrastinators. He wants you to be involved in everything but prayer, everything but fasting, everything but church prayer meetings. How is it we can get excited about certain things in our life, and when it comes down to an all-church prayer meeting that's going to have the make the difference between life and death and eternity and hell and heaven in people's lives, we have a hard time coming. You know why? Because we are swimming upstream in a cesspool of sin and corruption. We're moving in a direction. The world's going this way. We have to make a conscious effort and says, hey, this stuff's happening, but I'm going to make it. I'm swimming through all this stuff. I'm not going to let this stuff get to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to exclude these things from my life, from the life of my children. Praise God. Well, I need a hobby. Yeah, we all need some relaxation, some time. But listen, hobbies can become your nemesis. They can be the things that will take you down. Praise God. You can have both worlds if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you be part of the team here at Calvary Gospel Church, praise God. This business of being in one mind and one accord is an amazing phenomenon when you think about it. I need four volunteers to come up here real quick. Four people. Hallelujah. There's four right there. I want you to just turn your back to the pulpit. I want you to lock your arms together. Praise God. Lock them up. Lock and loaded. Now this, my friend, is when you're in one mind, in one accord. When you have a church full of people who are in one mind, in one accord. Now, I can come up here. I can't get through these guys. Especially this guy. Too tall hawk, they call. But listen, you two guys right there, just let your arms down. Now, when we are not in one mind and one accord, nobody's going to know it if you're not backing your pastors. Nobody's going to understand that you have a spiritual problem. Nobody's going to know that you're double-minded and you're not following after the program. See, it's from the heart. It's not, oh, I love you, praise the Lord, I love you. That's not it. One mind and one accord. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. You think your mind would stand up to the mind of Christ Jesus? Do you feel it's robbery when you think about the things God wants to do? Some of you here, I believe with all my heart, are going to be so mightily used of God, it would blow your socks off if God would reveal it right now. But it's not going to happen just because you think about it. It's not going to happen because, oh, I always wanted to be this or I always wanted to be that. That's not going to happen. But look what happens here when they are not in one mind and one accord. And guess what I have access to? They're back. The fiery darts of the wicked can come. Thank you, gentlemen. We have to understand that you have to be in one. If you're not, I can assure you this. Before you know it, you'll be on a slippery slope. Bible talks about a slippery slope. I've seen hundreds of people on that slippery slope. It starts very subtly. You don't even think about it. And before you know it, that fire that was burning in your heart is no longer there. It's dim. It's dim. You know, I call it Goldilocks Christianity. Some like it hot. Some like it cold. Some like it just right. Pastor, it's too hot in here. Would you turn the sound down? Bless God, I can't. Listen, you need to be on fire for Jesus Christ. The only safe position is being hot. The Bible says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. And you can be lukewarm and nobody will know it except you, God, and the devil. And he'll take you out when you're least thinking it. But why go there? Why even get to the point where you are vulnerable? Praise God. I want to put on the whole armor of God. We went over that the first part of the year. The whole armor of God. Put yourself under the divine protection of the Almighty God. Put yourself under the protection of your pastoral staff. And I say that not because I'm part of that staff, but I'm saying that that keeps you in union with God. That puts you in a place, my friend, where the devil cannot touch you. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and praise his wonderful name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Think about the scriptures, and I'm not going to go over all of them. Being equal with God is something that doesn't really formulate in our mind until we start looking at the scripture. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, why would you do that, God? So your joy would be full. So you could have joy unspeakable. So you could have these things that you've been praying about. And then John goes on. In 1 John, he said, if we pray according to his will, Well, certainly you wouldn't want to pray anything that was out of his will, but if you pray anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, guess what? Then we know we have the petitions that we ask for. Praise. Is that exciting to you? Or maybe I'm just, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm trying to help some of you because some of you are burdened down with negativity. Some of you are not joining in on the team. You're not catching the vision. And you think somehow nobody knows about it. Well, God must know about it because he laid this message on my heart specifically for people who are not totally committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there any more that you could do? Hallelujah. Listen, if you have the mind of Christ, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Praise God. And listen, you know what happens when you are totally committed? People start coming around and say, you really have to go to church 3 times a week? How come you guys, your girl women don't cut their hair? You guys aren't in your right mind. They think we're a cult. They think we're brainwashed. Praise God. And I love it. The Bible says rejoice. Rejoice when your good is evil spoken of. I said rejoice when your good is evil spoken of. You mean you tithe 10% of your money? Are you out of your mind? Yeah, I'm out of that carnal mind. I'm into the right mind. I'm into the mind of Christ. And that tells me that God will bless me. Hallelujah. But I do it not just to get a blessing. I do it because I owe. I was lost. I was undone. I had no hope. Praise God. For me to give 10% when I used to give 70, 80% to the devil, what a bargain. The only thing the devil gave me back was a broken nose, lost some teeth, broke this, broke that, smashed a bunch of cars up. He takes a toll on you. Right, Noah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's turn to Mark 3:21. Even Jesus had an issue with his family. Even Jesus had an issue with his friends. They thought, listen to this here. Mark 3:21, when his friends heard of it, about all the things that Jesus was doing, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. I looked that word up today. You know what that means? Insane. Jesus, his family thought, and his friends thought, is this not the carpenter's son? Don't we know his mother and father and sisters? Listen, when you have the mind of Christ, people are going to say, how come you can't come to the family reunion? You say, because I have church. Because I have responsibilities. Because I believe that I need to serve God, not man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Start compromising. Guess what happens? So even Jesus, they thought he was not in his right mind. Praise God. When you tell them that you have spoken in tongues, that always starts out a lively conversation. When I received the Holy Ghost back in 1981, when I came out of that water, I began to speak in a language that just I had never spoken before. And they said, are you out of your mind? Yes, I'm out of that carnal mind, but I'm into that supernatural mind that is taking me from darkness to light. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And I was told just about a week after I was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd been working with this man. He was from another denomination, very sincere man. And he was always witness to me. I came in that Monday morning, boy, and I am pumped. I didn't know anything. I mean, nothing. I didn't know what the big B meant at the time, but that's where he was from. And would you believe, he got on me and says, you've got to come to my church. You've got to give your heart to the Lord. He said, I said, praise God. I said, guess what happened this weekend? I was baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. All the things in my life became knew, I didn't have a clue what I was saying, but I knew this. It had happened. I knew that I knew that I knew. I didn't know how. And I said, and guess what? I received God's Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues. By this time, his eyes were big as saucers. He says, you can't speak in tongues. That was of the days of the apostles. I said, guess what? It's too late. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. See, those people don't intimidate. They didn't intimidate me 2 days after I come out of the water. How can you take that experience away from anybody that's had it? You can't. It's just not possible. But you've got to continue to renew this into your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't know what to do with me. He was trying to get transferred off that job, Pyre Square Building. I just kept hounding him. You got to come to our church. This is the real deal. Oh. So the devil. Oh. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you, Jesus. Praise God. There's a formula in the Bible, a very simple formula, and I believe this will help some of you, if you're not doing this, to get a hold of this principle that Pastor Grant and Pastor Roy have been talking about, and about spiritual power and spiritual authority. It does not happen until you take the time to do some of the basic things that you need to do. Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you could become an usher. You could become a greeter. You could become a bus driver. See, living sacrifices, they're like, you know, the Bible talks about we're vessels. We're all kind of setting up on the shelf. If our vessel's clean, we've got sin out of our life, then if God should choose to use you for a particular duty, you should rejoice. God's allowing me to be an usher. Isn't that wonderful? That is marvelous. How about greeter? Look at, God wants to use me as a Bible study teacher. I'm about 2 months into the Word of God. I'm on a bus route. I had no idea what I was doing. Pastor Grant put me on the bus route, told me I was a driver. I said, you got to be kidding me. I was a tank driver. You don't want to put me in. But he did. So I'm calling on people every Saturday, and I thought, now this is the most exciting ministry in this church. Every single Saturday, I got to knock on people's doors. Hi, my name is Rich Thomas. I'm with Calvary Gospel Church's bus team. Do you have anybody in your home that might be interested in coming to church? It's yes or no. Oh, by the way, would you be interested in a home Bible study? Yes or no. Next one. Hi, my name's Rich. I thought, no, this is cool. This is a way to meet people, get involved in their lives, and so what did I have to give up? A Saturday. What did I used to do on Saturdays? I used to get drunk. Just being honest with you. So now I'm getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. But anyway, I get this one couple. They got 4 kids. I knock on their door. They let me in. And the moment I walked in, they both started crying. I thought, whoa. Ooh, how did that? What's going on here? So I started talking about the Lord. I said, would you like a Bible study? Says, yeah, we want a Bible study. We're hungry for God. And I call up Pastor Grant. I said, Brother Grant, I said, I got some people that need a Bible study. I said, who should we get? He said, you teach it. I said, oh, no. Come on. I said, are you kidding? He said, no. He says, you get yourself a chart. Stay one lesson ahead of them. That's all. They don't know anything. And they didn't. 6 people were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Never had any formal education in Bible school, but I do have something inside of me that's hidden. It's called the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have. Listen, I got thinking about this. If I have the Holy Ghost, then I've got the author of the Bible inside of me. Now, how cool is that? You know, sometimes you go to a bookstore and there's an author signing the book, and he'll sign the thing. Here's the God of creation, the one who said, let there be light. He's living inside of me. I said, God, I got a question. Speak. It didn't always come instantly, But I've been on merry chases all through the Bible when God would lead you to here, to there, to here, to that. When I found out there was a Thompson Chain reference Bible, I was ecstatic. I could not believe that you could follow from Genesis all the way to Book of Revelation in one thought. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Did I ever read my scripture? Nope. Romans 12 and 1. If you're wondering why I'm so excited, it's because I have the Holy Ghost. And every time I think about it and renew my mind, I get excited about living for God. I get excited about my job. I get excited about talking to people. We've been asked to go over to a church here in town, and they said, we've got 20 people or 25 people who need the Holy Ghost. Would you come over here and pray them through for us? Well, let me think. What do you guys believe? No, I said, oh, I think we could work that in our schedule. You kidding me? 20 people receiving the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Would you join with me this week and believe God for a great outpouring on these people? They need the Holy Ghost. Their tradition is that you are baptized, but you tarry for the Holy Ghost. And there's no scripture that will tell us that we tarry for the Holy Ghost. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the formula. Now, what is it that you want to renew your mind with? You want to seek for the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is in the scripture. When you start meditating on the word of God, starting reading the word of God, start hiding God's word in your heart, things began to happen. Listen to the word of God. When I first came in, Pastor Grant said, I said, how can I grow? He said, get yourself some 3x5 cards. Put them up here in your pocket. And go topic by topic and find areas in your life that need to be brushed up a little bit. Put those in your copy and then just pull them out and read them when you're at a stop sign, when you're at wherever. And you will grow spiritually because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. We waste a lot of good time by not filtering the word of God through our natural man and receiving the power. Ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's okay to have the power of the Holy Ghost, but you need ammunition. You have the gun, you have the power, but you have to have something inside of you to the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost needs some ammo when you speak the word of God that's hidden in your heart, you then have a dynamic weapon in your hand. Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? I don't want to have some devil tell me who are you. I want them to be fearing me. We are not the tail, we are the head. We are joint heirs with the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And I am thankful. Praise God. We can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll never be happy nor fulfilled unless you have the will of God etched in your heart. You say, well, how do I know what the will of God is? It just said, the will of God is the word of God. That's all. It's not that complicated. If you study the word, God's will for your life will be revealed, and God will give you all the information you need to take the next step. He's not going to give you the whole story. He's going to give you line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Why would he give me or anybody the whole story? Because we'd go to the end of the book and say, oh, this is where I'm going, and that's what I need to do. You need to build up your faith. You need to build up this Holy Ghost that's in you. You need to prove yourself faithful in a ministry that most people don't even want around here. But if you can't be faithful in the little things, why would God ever think about using you for something big? Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm so excited I can hardly stand myself. My wife said that to me the day. Come on, can I hardly stand you? I don't know how that worked. Just kidding. When we really believe this stuff, think about it. Think about the potential. I mean, I've always been an entrepreneur. I don't think I've ever had a job where I wasn't in charge or I was owned or something. But I always look for opportunities to excel. I look for ways to become better at what I do. I look for ways to make my boss look good. What I thought everybody was supposed to do until I started hiring people. And I found out, hey, that's not exactly what most people do. Praise God. But listen, with the mind of Christ, we have the power to change the destiny of this church, of this city, of this county, of this state, and the world. We have a ministry, African International Ministries. Some wonderful men of God are heading up that ministry. And the people they're ministering to live in other countries. They won't always be here. They will go back to their countries. And they've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Is that wonderful or what? Our CMI group, I've often said, I said this 25 years ago, that ministry has more potential to start a worldwide revival than any ministry at Calvary Gospel Church, because over 65 or 69 nations are involved at the University of Wisconsin. And listen, when you win one of those people from a third world country, they don't take it lightly, because when you tell them that God will supply all of their need according to his riches in glory, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, whoa, listen, you don't have to twist their arm, because they don't have 401ks, they don't have 2,000-bed hospitals. They just have Jesus. Woo-hoo. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has promised to heal our land. Our land is a mess. It's a mess. I remember back 30 years ago, and it's three times messier than it was. It's crazy. It's out of control. It's spinning so fast that it's just unbelievable. The evil's being pumped out like it never has before. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man and when he returns. You can get caught up in whatever you're caught up in. But listen, I'm concerned about the people in this community. And when I have a solution, as I believe it, it's a solution in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Now, there's something that we should easily take note of. How do you humble yourself? Pastor Roy told us the other day, he said, prayer and fasting. Those are the guard posts at the entrance to greatness in the kingdom of God. You'll have to go through prayer and fasting if you ever want to really be used of God. It's just that simple. It doesn't work any other way. And then you obviously have to have the word of God in your heart. Humble self and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wow. Our wicked ways? But I thought we were all baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. What would we be doing that could be wrong? I'll tell you what it is. It's because all these things have come to pass. We had the power to stop them. We could have stopped all these agendas that are going now if we would have united in one mind, in one accord. Throughout the world, we could have stopped every evil attempt to do all the things that are happening now. And I didn't want to name them, but we have that power. If all things are possible, those who believe, what's keeping us from turning back this so-called alternate lifestyle? What's to keep us from stopping the abortionists? What's to keep us from having the God that we know is inside of us go back into our schools? Boy, school's done a real good job since we kicked God out. About 25 kids a year get killed, shot. I like it when Jesus was in control. I like it when the Holy Ghost was, we still had godly rulers. Hallelujah. Then it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There it is. That's the formula. Humble yourselves and pray and turn from your wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven. That's telling God, hey, I'm concerned. See, we get concerned about things, but usually we don't think about asking God to forgive people who are doing these things. Like Jonah sometimes. I don't know if I want to pray for those blankety blank people. I don't agree with their lifestyle. I don't agree with what they're doing. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. If we have the mind of Christ, he's not willing that any one person should perish, regardless of color, regardless of anything that's going on in their life, regardless of the sin. Brother Forkbaugh told us a wonderful story about that gentleman in Liberia. My blood turned when I heard all about that. But you know what? God looked at that. His blood took care of all that mess. Can you thank God for the blood? Praise God. Throughout the Bible, we see a lot of men and women doing great things when they have the mind of Christ. Great things. But every one of them, it would almost seem crazy to take a stick and strike the Red Sea. Now, if you were an observer and you were spying on these people, and you say, what's that old goat doing out there? They're trapped now. There's no hope for these people. They're goners. And he picks up a stick and he says, he's out of his mind. He thinks that that Red Sea is going to open. And we know the story, the Red Sea opened. How about the 90-year-old Daniel who decides to defy the order to not pray to only the king? 90 years old, and he knew his fate. He knew he was going to get thrown into the lion's den. They said, hey, Daniel, I'm sure some of his friends says, hey, you're crazy, man. You're out of your mind. Nobody will know if you don't do this. No, Daniel says, no, I'm a man of integrity. Praise God. Aren't you glad that there's a God who honors those who keep his word? Don't think for a minute God's not keeping score. When we become double-minded and our heart's not into this, he knows it. And your pastors will know it because God talks to them. But listen, why go there? Why don't you just be happy? Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? We could do that right now. We're still in a country that we could do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 How about that crazy teenager David, who looked when he saw that no man was willing to fight a 10-foot-6 giant? He said, wait a minute, I think I can take that guy. They're thinking, are you out of your mind? David, think about this. You can't even fit into the king's armor, and you're telling us you're going to take on the giant? What was going on with David? He had the mind of Christ. He knew that God would never forsake him. He knew that God would never fail him. You know what keeps us from doing some things for God is fear. We're afraid. How could all the men in that army be afraid of one man? Certainly there was someone there that would have had enough spirituality in them to say, you know, I'm going to give this a try. I believe God will be with me. And then David had the audacity to stand up and say, you uncircumcised Philistine, you come after me with a sword and a spear. I come after you in the name of the Lord. And he took his howitzer. He leveled it, shot an 86-millimeter cannon right through the guy. No, he goes down and he finds five little stones. Whoosh, whoosh. You tell me that stone could knock that giant out. That stone had a guided missile angel on it. When that stone hit, it wasn't going just at the force that David threw it. That was like our choir sometimes. All of a sudden they sound so good, I don't believe it. And I believe the angels just showed up. We got a good choir. But sometimes it's almost too good. Sister Lawrence, do you ever feel that? Praise God, praise God, praise God. So, we could go on and on and on. The one story that blows my mind is when, in 2 Chronicles 20 and 21, Israel was surrounded by over 260,000 troops from various countries. They had absolutely no hope. Pray tell me, what are we going to do? Let's send Sister Leonardson out with a praise team. Wasn't that a logical solution? Are you out of your mind, preacher? That's exactly what they did. They sent out the praise team. They sent out the worshipers. They began to worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. Can you believe it? And guess what God did? So if they have that much power to take care of all those men, how about you and I when we feel surrounded? We feel like we can't move. We're financially at a point where we can't. We've got situations and problems in our life. Listen, here's a solution. Start singing praises unto God. When you are down at your lowest, you will find out that God will take the spirit of heaviness from you and give you the garment of praise. How cool is that? The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know who needs this, but besides me, praise God. But it just I just can't imagine the President of the United States calling up Sister Leonard and say, listen, I need your praise team to go over to Iraq. I want you to go over there and stand in front of the troops, and I want you to begin singing praises unto God. Hello? That's what they did. See, when God gives you a commandment to do something, don't ask him how you're going to do it. Just do it. Just do it. Don't worry about how you're going to do it. Just do it. Do it now. Don't hesitate. Make it a reflex to do the when you hear that still small voice, respond. Knock the door. Call. When God puts a name in your heart, call that person. Hey, I do it all the time, and I know the pastors do it. Hey, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. You know how many times I've had Pastor Grant tell me? He said, someone walked in the back door I hadn't seen for 2 years. You know, I just prayed for that person this week. Guess what? Why did they come? Because God answers prayer. I said, God answers prayer. We're involved in a supernatural battle that we have been given all the tools and equipment we need. If we could just stay out of it, if we could just let God fight our battles, if we just know that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. If God be for us, would you stand with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? If you have the promises of God in your heart, please understand, God cannot lie. Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? All of these promises are for you and for me. They take care of every aspect of your life. Why? Because God said it, and he cannot lie. Praise God. The devil's doing 1,000 different things to try to keep you from being what you can be. And as we move through these into this dimension, we need to be able to go boldly into the throne room of God. We need to demand everything that God has given us in the Scripture. Now, this weekend, we're hosting Brother Morton Bustard. And last weekend, we had Brother Forkpaw. Two amazing, great men of God. But listen, they'll be gone in a week. We'll still be here with all of the things that are coming against us. I don't want to wait until Brother Bustard or Brother Forkpaw come. As much as I love these men, I believe we got Busters and Forkpaws and Grants and all kinds of people right here. You are filled with his spirit. They have disciplined themselves to do things, but you could have that same power and authority. In fact, you've got it if you'd only believe it. All things are possible to those who believe. See, Lord, help mine unbelief. Start where you are and begin to believe the promises of God. If we want the mind of God, there are no excuses. We will all stand in front of the judgment seat of God someday. And we're going to have to give an account. And that account's going to be based upon what we did. Where's your fruit? Jesus said, not only you bear much fruit, but he said your fruit should remain. It's easy sometimes to get people, one, it's get them to remain in the house of God. It takes a lot of work. You ask the walls that had twins, it's a lot of work to raise kids. Two of them, when they decide to go to the restroom at the same time, ooh, things stink up in the house. When we get a lot of new people in this building, Pastor Roy, we're going to have some messes to clean up. We're going to have some, you know, when those babies cry at night, you don't say, let them cry. What's the matter with him? Sleep through the night. Buck up, man. Pony up. Let's go. You mothers, fathers, you get up and you run to that child's room. Oh, how can I help you? What's wrong? We all have monitors now. We can hear the babies. And mothers will wake up in the middle of the night to hear, make sure they're still breathing. Can you mothers know about that? How much more should we, as the church of the living God, have a burden for our children? For those who are lost, and now they have been found. But unless we pursue them, unless we change their diapers, unless we burp them, unless we answer all of their questions, Satan will snatch them right out of our hand. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to send a revival here above and beyond that which we ever thought. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I plan on being, if the Lord tarries and my health continues, I want to be right in the middle of it, Pastor Grant. I want to make a difference in someone's life. Anybody feel the same way? Hey, sometimes we're so busy, we look at men like trees. We do. We don't even think about their soul because we're on our mission to do this or do that. Listen, we need to go back and have Jesus rub some mud in our eye. That we could see clearly. These are eternal souls that will spend someplace in eternity. Praise God. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Hallelujah. If we have anybody here tonight that would like to renew their relationship with the Almighty God, feel free to come up here. If there's anyone here tonight who hasn't spoken in tongues in a long time, would you do yourself a favor? Would you come up here and have someone pray with you so you could be renewed in the Holy Ghost? It's one of those schemes of the devil. He wants to keep you from the apostolic power of speaking in other tongues. Because every time you speak in tongues, my friend, it renews your faith. It gives you the assurance that God's not only with you, but he's in you. If you have a need for deliverance tonight, come up here. Let us pray for you. We love you. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you.